This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village at Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Thursday afternoon, May 29th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. A financial expert believes women should consider working longer than they may have originally planned. We'll find out why in our next segment. But right now, Chicago's housing market is hot as home prices rise 3 times faster than national average. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Drew, thank you for joining us today. And what is driving all of this this interest in Chicago's housing market? Is this a demand issue or a supply issue?
That's a great question, Rob, and thanks for having me out here today. We are seeing the spring market in a real rise right now. I think that there's a certain excitement that has kind of come over some of the folks to, you know, the inventory really hasn't changed too much, but I think that they're kind of settling in to say, you know what, I think this is the way things are going to be for a little while, because I'm not sure what's going to happen with these interest rates. So, you know, people have been sitting on the sidelines for a long period of time. So now they're kind of watching and going, you know what, maybe now's a good time to get into this.
Now, interest rates, especially since 2022, are basically the reason why that the housing market froze up. You have homeowners who locked in extremely low rates during the depths of the COVID pandemic in 2020. And then interest rates shot up into the 6-7% range shortly thereafter. But life goes on, Drew. And even if you really enjoyed that extremely low rate, sometimes you have to move for a job. Sometimes you have to downsize. Sometimes you just want to change the scenery.
Absolutely. All those things are true. And I think that's also part of what we're seeing as well. I think that, you know, people are moving. I think people are, you know, the folks that are having those 3 and sub-3 interest rates, those aren't the ones that are moving around and doing much. I think it's the folks who are kind of saying, you know, I think I'll settle in with this 6 or 6.5% interest rate. And if things get better, you always have the opportunity to refinance. But no, people are moving. I think job changes definitely warrant that. But it's been an exciting thing so far.
Now, there is a great deal of interest. Will that interest actually be converted into action? I mean, just the fact that people are looking, does that mean they'll actually pull the trigger and move?
Well, and that's going to be on a couple of factors, right? Because what this really determines is, you know, you may have the interest, but then you have to go to the bank and, you know, pre-qualify and make sure that you can do this. I would do it the other way. I think I would say, let's go out to the bank and let's see if we have, what is our buying power? What can we afford? And then put your interest into the market. So I think the folks that we're actually seeing in the market right now that are actually, you know, moving with, you know, housing, those folks have done the front side of that work, being, you know, they've fixed up their credit scores and they've gotten themselves pre-approved and they've been able to get out and, you know, find a house that maybe has been sitting there for a long time that folks are ready to, you know, sell themselves. So they're not going to settle in on the higher prices.
Now, when we talk about limited supply of housing in the Chicago area, are we talking about we're just simply not building enough of it, and that is the reason why supply is limited, or people are jumping on them as soon as they become available? You can't build them or make them available fast enough.
Yep, I think it's a combination of both of those. And then the third factor is people that are saying, well, you know what, I really do want to move, but it doesn't make any sense because I have a 3% interest rate and I'm going to go to a 6 or 7. So, you know, I think it's a combination of all three of these factors that is really making a big difference in what's happening out in the market today.
Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today to talk about the state of the Chicago housing market. Coming up, by why women may choose to stay on the job longer.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There are several important reasons why it might be a good idea for some women to delay their retirement and to work longer. We welcome in Chris Everett, fiduciary financial planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park, author of the book, The Prescription for a Healthy Retirement. Chris, thank you for joining us today. And what are some scenarios in which it makes financial sense for women to delay their retirement by a couple of years?
You know, pretty typically people think financial security drivers, because women often face greater financial pressures in retirement due to the wage gap throughout their careers, plus their longer life expectancy. So, you know, working those additional few years to build adequate retirement savings, especially if they took a career break for caregiving or whatever, that reduce their earning potential. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, we talk about in financial planning, it's a dollars and cents and numbers story. Not so much nearly as a life story, because you are telling your life story through your savings. And part of that is for a variety of reasons, and we've talked about this before, Chris, that caregiving, whether it's kids or aging parents, usually falls on the woman of the household. And as you point out, that may require going part-time or even leaving the employment market for a length of time, and sometimes for a very long period of time.
Of course, of course. Now, on a happier note, there's career fulfillment and purpose. You know, women who broke through the glass ceiling or reached leadership positions in their careers may want to maximize their impact. And also, how about mentorship opportunities? That's a great reason to work longer, too. You know, sometimes working gives you an identity, you know, gives you intellectual stimulation, social connections. And, you know, maybe some women just don't want to give that up. What a great reason to stay in the workforce, to really kind of put your value down into the next generation.
And on top of that, I mean, we talk about how 65, 66, 67 are traditionally, that's the retirement age, because that was set back in the 1930s with the advent of Social Security. But I think you and I both know, you take a look at a picture of somebody who was 60 in 1975 versus somebody who was 60 in 1985 versus somebody who is 60 today, 60 isn't as old as it used to be, just thanks to advances in habits and in medical technology.
Amen to that. Look at Warren Buffett, just retired, what, 94 or something like that? I think traditional retirement models don't really fit modern life anymore. We are so much healthier and more energetic in our 60s and 70s than those previous generations. So we're just, we can do more now.
Well, I think, I mean, people very easily work well into their 70s, and it's not like the idea that they're you know, dragging themselves out of bed and going into work. I mean, if you feel up for it and you're energetic and you want to do it, why not keep doing it?
Amen. You know, then you don't get the retirement blues. You just keep being vital in the world. You got to stay vital.
And then by staying on just a little bit longer past the traditional retirement age, and I know this is something that we have talked about on the program before, and that is you change your Social Security math by electing to take the benefits a little bit later.
Oh, yeah. And certainly take it by the time you're 70. Don't wait, because you can't get any more if you wait. For sure. Yeah, the longer you wait, you know, from your retirement age, maybe at 67, every year going forward, that benefit grows by 8%. So it does make sense sometimes to wait till 70. Not always, though, because it depends on the balance in your financials, right? I mean, taking that Social Security benefit even earlier may reduce some of the pressure on your portfolio, especially if we're having a down market. So it just really depends on your personal situation.
And then we touched on this briefly, but this is also an actuarial story as well, because traditionally the numbers say women live longer than men. And I think there are a lot of factors that go into your saving plan over the course of your life. And one of them is trying to figure out when you decide to when you will exit stage left or stage right. And that could happen in your 70s. That could happen in your 80s. That could happen in your 90s or well beyond that. So how do you plan if you think you're just going to, A, live longer, and B, potentially live longer than your spouse?
Well, not to be too self-promoting here, but you better hire a fiduciary to help you look at every penny that you have, to see really what lifestyle you can afford, how long your money's going to last, see things that you can't possibly see because you don't have the full perspective.
Chris Everett, fiduciary financial planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park, the author of the book, The Prescription for a Healthy Retirement. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, Major League Baseball getting in on the women's pro softball action.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Major League Baseball is investing in the Athletes Unlimited Softball League, which should boost visibility and support for women's professional softball. It's set to debut next month, and it continues a trend of greater interest and growth in women's pro sports. Joining us to discuss is Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Verterre Group in Chicago. Tim, thank you for joining us today. And what are some of the details behind this latest investment by Major League Baseball in women's professional softball?
Well, Rob, Athletes Unlimited is an interesting organization that has been around for about 6 or 7 years or so. And its essential intent has been to create leagues and playing opportunities for women on a professional level with kind of a unique twist. And that is more individually centric, where the players may play team sports like lacrosse and softball, and basketball and volleyball and some others envisioned, but would actually sort of rotate in terms of team construct based on individual players' performances, and some real money behind it too, to incentivize a lot of women to potentially continue a career that they may have excelled at in college on a professional level where no real pro league sort of existed. Now, the reality is that a lot of leagues are starting to pop up around women's sports generally. We've seen it with the WNBA, certainly the NWSL, et cetera. And Athletes Unlimited has recognized that softball has been kind of a choppy history over the last 30 years or so on the professional level, and essentially is now trying to tweak its individual player kind of construct, their all-star program that they've got still now, into a team league format starting this June. And that's what Major League Baseball is investing in and partnering with to, frankly, a shot in the arm for women's sports with the brand trust, if you will, and support of Major League Baseball.
Now, I took my daughters to an Athletes Unlimited professional softball game in Rosemont. They have a field next to the Chicago Dog Stadium. You'll see the softball field if you're taking the ramp from the Kennedy to the Tri-State. And it was a fun time. It was a great way to spend a Saturday afternoon. The players are very accessible. There is an autograph session after both games. And one thing I did notice, though, as part of the arrangement, Tim, was the ESPN television banner that was in the outfield. So not only is this an opportunity to invest in women's sports, professional sports, but it is an opportunity to fill the ever-expanding content maw.
No question. And television, obviously, a big part of it. But it's also interesting as well, too, not only, and the Chicago Bandits, right, a team that people may remember over the last number of years. There was a league called National Pro Fast Pitch back in the, I would say about 20 years ago, back in the aughts. And a little known fact is that Major League Baseball actually had an official partnership with that league in 2003 or so to similarly provide support and introductions and all kinds of other benefits as a partner league, if you will, of Major League Baseball. Now, that was probably about 20 years too early, and the marketplace has certainly matured since then. I think this is a real indication of how much women's sports on the professional level has grown and will continue to do so with partnerships like this.
Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Verterre Group in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, you may be living in what was once considered the home of the future.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. Markets are slightly higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. J.J., thank you for joining us today. And 24 hours ago at this time, we were talking about what we could expect from NVIDIA in their quarterly report, whether or not they can continue their winning streak of being priced for perfection. And once again, NVIDIA impressed.
Yeah, once again, Rob, they seem to be perfect, right, buddy? Yeah, pretty amazing overall. You know what is interesting, though, Rob, is I you know, the stock as we speak here is up about 3.75%. But if you look at what the options market was actually pricing, and they were pricing at a 5% move. So the stock was a little bit higher. It was up around 5% earlier this morning. And so it is within expected ranges, which is, I think, a good, always good to see that it's not, you know, crazy one way or the other. But to your point, they're absolutely amazing on how the demand keeps going forward. And we'll see what the effect of tariffs will be, as that truly remains something that's up in the air.
And speaking of tariffs, we have this court ruling against the tariff plans that were rolled out by the White House that is going to be appealed, no doubt, all the way to the Supreme Court. But between NVIDIA clearing its hurdle and the tariff ruling that came down yesterday evening, I think I was anticipating that we'd be talking about like a 500-point move on the Dow. And right now it's up just 0.9%.
Yeah, the initial move in the overnight markets was quite a bit more. One thing to keep in mind, though, Rob, is even with this ruling, it leaves the door open for the White House to impose tariffs on things like steel and lumber and semiconductors. So it's not like everything is still, it's all of a sudden everything is out from under there. So there still are major parts to our economy that could see tariffs go on in them. And there are a few other things, but those are probably the three main ones that we'll continue to talk about in terms of what happens there. And again, you know, one thing that we've seen since this administration came into office, there's never a dull day. And so there always seems to be news outside the stocks themselves in terms of what's going on with the macro picture. But at the end of the day, we just continue to see great performance out of these stocks.
And speaking of the macro picture, we do have that new reading on gross domestic product for the first quarter. It was a 0.3% decline, over annualized decline in the first read. That has been revised upward, so to speak, now just a 0.2% decline. And right now we have the Atlanta Fed, their GDP nowcast has GDP growth at about 2%, give or take. So it seems like that was merely a bump in the road.
Yeah, it really was. You know, some of the reasons we contracted actually had to do with government spending and slowing consumer spending. But, you know, what helped was we saw a lot more investments and exports. And I don't think any single one of those, if we look back after the last few months, we look back at what people expected with the new administration coming in. I think if you'd have asked anybody in January, what will be the things that go well, what will be the things that go poorly, most people probably could have picked those out to one or more levels on the positive and negative side. So again, to your point, it's simply a bump in the road.
When will NVIDIA eventually slow down? It seems like as long as money by the billions is shoveled in to capital expenditures for AI until a winner in that particular space is crowned, it seems like NVIDIA is just going to keep chugging along.
It does seem that way. And, you know, if you look at the fact that it sounds like soon they may be controlling, you know, not only computers, but maybe our appliances, all vehicles, you know, and robots. More importantly, you're starting to see the developments in robots just really explode exponentially right now. And as long as they continue to have these markets, and hey, just like anything else in life, Rob, when you are producing the best quality product, which they seem to be doing right now, people want your product for what they're doing so they can produce the best quality product. So as long as they can retain that crown, that's fantastic. The one thing that we've talked about the last few earnings, and I think you and I talked about this in the last earnings, is they can't keep up with the demand, which on its surface is fantastic. But we both know that over a period of 6 months or a year, if that continues to happen, people will find other alternatives. So to me, that's the thing they have to continue to stay on top of.
J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, a possible issue with the evolution of the smart home.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. The future of homes includes many tech upgrades that offer convenience, energy savings, and automation, but it also raises some privacy concerns and could have a mixed impact on property values. Joining us to discuss is Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And my vision of the house of the future is still, it was forged by this ride that used to exist at Epcot at Disney World called Horizons, where you would see the home of the future. There was the apartment of the 21st century. century. It was the desert farm of the 21st century. And then it was some home on some other planet, presumably in the 21st century. And the family, like the guy would be playing, he'd be playing his futuristic synthesizer, and the wife would be talking to their kid on a holographic phone. But the reality of the home of the 21st century is, Paul, I have an app on my phone that tells me when the refrigerator stopped making ice. And what does that mean for homeowners going forward, now that your appliances are telling you how good of a job they're doing?
Well, it means you'll never have a warm drink again. Let's just start with that.
That's true.
And second, let's put it this way. There's two sides of this coin, of course. One is value, one is risk. And looking at the value first, according to Vivint, which is a smart home device maker in Utah, my home state, Park City, where I live when I'm not in Cambridge, and that is, they said that smart home technology dramatically increases the value of a home. The numbers are pretty staggering. Cost of a U.S. smart home in 2025 is about $1.2 million, and the average cost of a non-smart home, defined if you want to later, but is just north of about half of that, $660,000. And by the way, it's not a causal link, right? In other words, if you put all this stuff in your home in the middle of a terrible neighborhood, it's not going to double the value of your home. But the point is that in neighborhoods where people want to shop for higher value homes, often they're looking for smart products. So that's the upside, and that's great. The downside, of course, is what you just talked about. It's not only sort of the, hey, on my ice, I get a text when my ice maker is on the fritz, but also safety, security. Are you giving up for this convenience lots and lots of privacy? And the answer is yes. TSA is an easy example for anybody who's been in an airport recently. You almost don't even have to show them your driver's license. They look at your face. Well, the same thing happens with doorbells. And a doorbell, like a Ring doorbell that has a camera, will store the shape of your face. It will also, once you enter the home, if you have Alexa or Google smart devices, it will not only know you're in the room with motion detectors, and that's a good thing if you want to cut down on your heat use, because say the room is empty, it'll shut down the furnace. But it's also, the fact is, now Google and Amazon know you're in the kitchen at 3 a.m. And, you know, what are they doing with that data? So it's absolutely a two-edged sword.
And also, what happens when you move out and all of those smart devices are integrated into the home? Because, people sometimes, they don't take their refrigerator with them. They don't take these appliances. And maybe we're talking about sound systems that are built into your kitchen or built into your rec room or built into your family room, and you're not taking that with you either. So you talk about the information security concerns, but what happens if the previous homeowner knows how to get into your thermostat?
No, that's exactly right. So, and let's be specific for 2 seconds. Your question's well placed, because when you enter a smart home, a lot of data is collected. And if you own that home, great. If you don't, if you rent that home, that's already a fork in the road. Who's collecting the data if you rent the home? And now, it's guaranteed that if you go into each privacy setting of each app that's connected with each device, you can state preferences. No question about it. Amazon, for example, Alexa is supposed to only start listening to your requests once it hears the wake word, which is Alexa. But of course, mix-ups happen, like if you're shopping for Alexa sedan and all of a sudden it's listening, or somebody's name, unfortunately, is Lexa or something. And by the way, I hope I didn't turn on everybody's home devices, but that's exactly it. If you walk into a home, where is that info stored? And there are privacy choices and preferences that allow you to disconnect or make it erase, but they promise they don't continuously record or store conversations. But there have been lots of examples where that's not the case. So the point is, yes, you have to be aware that the home you moved into might have a ghost, and it's the ghost of the previous owner.
Now, we talk about all of these issues, but the free market says that people like these conveniences and people like having this technology in their home. So it's really just a matter of the providers trying to answer some of those concerns. You can't turn back the clock.
You're absolutely right. Look, I mean, in the end, depending upon your perspective on this, and I sort of swap between, you know, optimism and pessimism. But on the one hand, you know, convenience is a drug. And we're willing to take that, you know, we're willing to take almost any loss of privacy. Browsing is a really easy example. You know, in the old days when there was this Google thing, you probably remember it before AI. Anyway, then guess what? All of those searches were free, quote unquote. But what you gave up for that convenience, that drug, I would call it, was a loss of the privacy of your choices. Hence, you know, when you say, you know, I've always thought that Portuguese soccer team was awesome, and all of a sudden you're getting, you know, ads for in your phone for trips to Portugal, even though you had no interest whatsoever. So the point is that two-edged sword is either convenience or peril, depending upon your life outlook.
Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media in Cambridge, Massachusetts, thank you for joining us.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
State lawmakers are debating proposals that would overhaul the Regional Transit Authority. Let's get the latest from Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University. Joe, thank you for joining us today. We have two competing proposals, neither of which has firmed up where the money would come from to cover this $700 million fiscal cliff. We do have one idea that would do away with the RTA and reorganize it under something known as the Northern Illinois Transit Authority. But the reforms in fares and capital structure and governance, that would be kicked down the road by a couple of years, giving them like 5 years to study how to fully reform public transit in the region.
That's exactly right. I mean, news is coming out of Springfield, it seems like every hour, with rumors and facts and somewhere in between. But we do know that this furious discussion is going on because the budget is happening and the cliff is coming. And there are these two bills. And it's encouraging that we have more than just we're working on it, but some details. So Ron Vallum's bill indeed would create a strengthened RTA in the Northern Illinois Transit Authority, but they've identified some possible taxes, you know, a possible 50-cent tax on rideshare, maybe a tollway increase that would be paid by motorists on the road, some things with property taxes, extending some things that are already in place. So we're starting to hear what may happen. What we don't know yet is if there's support for something like this to pass. And then we did hear, as you say, some talk of, well, this could partly happen now, partly happen this fall.
One of the ideas, one of the proposals contained in one of the bills, which was interesting to me, Joe, and that was giving the Northern Illinois Transit Authority, if this does come to pass, the ability and the power to develop land around train stations and bus stops, which can be an innovative source of revenue. We already see this in Florida with Brightline, the privatized high-speed train service they have down there, where they own the land around the train stations, and then they sell the land at an elevated price because now it's a train station and now it's in demand.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of things they are looking at. And if you did have a strengthened central agency that could, you know, speak for all three modes, Metro, Pace, and CTA, you could start to envision those kind of things. That's called land capture. And there's real opportunities for that because good things are happening around metro stations and around other parts of the region that are transit hungry. So we are looking at those proposals. What's really interesting watching this is just how the politics of board governance, which is the world I don't live in normally, but it comes out if we do reform this, how many spots does the mayor get? How many does the state appoint and so forth? And by all indications, you know, the push is to make it less controlled by any one entity so we can look at these outside-the-box things without resistance.
And talking to one in-the-know transit observer, they said that the real issue with trying to merge the service boards or change governance in any way is that the CTA is such a large entity that there would be some real concern that the CTA would just simply overpower any reformed public transit agency just simply by virtue of its size.
And that echoes the big concerns when the RTA was created in the first place. The suburbs are saying, whoa, this may become an arm of the city, and we're not cool with that. And I think there is some truth to the fact the CTA is so big compared to the other agencies that, you know, that there's a bit of a paranoia, you might say, that this may end up in the mayor of Chicago's lap. And so that will certainly not garner many votes in Springfield if those fears loom. So there's been a lot of discussion of how we could kind of relax that appointment process so more appointments would come outside these really powerful elected bodies.
Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago, thank you for joining us today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.